through Zechariah's song, which we will read this morning, Zechariah proclaims that through the tender mercy of God, Jesus our Lord came to guide our feet into the path of peace. So on this second Sunday of Advent, I welcome you to this worshipful time of peace as we glorify our great and glorious God in praise and in thanksgiving. Some announcements to share with you this morning. The Senior Citizens Christmas Dinner is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. this Thursday. And so if you hope to attend that, please sign up on the bulletin board. Or if you miss that opportunity, just show up. There's always food available. That's Thursday at 5:30. We are working on a choir or a couple of groups, ensemble groups, for singing worship on the 19th and also on Christmas Eve. So if you are a vocalist and would like to join those groups, they will have practices on Wednesday, December 8th and December 15th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and you're invited to join them. Christmas cheer ends today as far as the collection of everything, and then tomorrow morning items will be hauled over to the fairgrounds. Anybody that has a truck or anyone wants to help with a vehicle to transport, you can meet Gloria and I here at 8:30 in the morning. Fairlawn continues to look for helpers for December 12th in the setting out and then the lighting of the luminaries on the 12th at 1:30. And if you would like to help with that, please let me know. I would share with you that Denny Hornish he called me yesterday to let me know that he is in the hospital and he is having his gallbladder removed this morning, and asked for your prayers for that surgery and for his healing. Also just got word that Keith Kuntz took his father, Robert, to the ER with an issue, so we can be praying for Bob Kuntz as well. And if there's anyone that is after the 10:30 service concludes, we have to change the gym from birthday party for Jesus to a fellowship time after the memorial service. So if there a few hands could help with setting up tables, that would be great. Just meet me there after the service. And then there was something else that I was missing. We are blessed to have Liz Berggren from Crossroad with us. If you were here sometime in June or July, she covered one of the Sundays I was gone and brought the message, and she is here to speak about Crossroad, our December Mission a Month. Liz?
Good morning, everyone. I told the earlier service this morning that one of the joys of speaking on Sunday mornings is the drive from Indiana to Ohio and the sunrise. So thank you for blessing me with that this morning. And also just how impactful it is for me, and I know others at Crossroad that do the same work that I do, to be able to speak with you in person and share with you how your support truly transforms the lives of children and families. Through COVID, it's been interesting not being able to speak to our supporters in person, because I think so much of why you choose to support our children and families are because you know the needs are there, but not being able to speak with you about what you're doing for our kids is kind of difficult, so I appreciate you allowing me to be here this morning. This year has been interesting for Crossroad, like I'm sure it has been for many of your families, but we've been really grateful by the way that our supporters have continued to find a way to support our campus in ways that work for them, whether that be through prayer or financial giving or giving of items that we need on campus. Unfortunately, the need for services for children and families in our communities is not slowing down. And so we've been grateful to have you partner with us and continue to partner with us in helping families in crisis. Many of you may know Crossroad as a children's home. Obviously, that's what we started as. Actually, it's over 138 years ago this year. And we still have children that live full-time at Crossroad. during their treatment. But we have expanded our services quite a bit over the last few years, and we serve many families in our communities as well. So we have clinicians that go into families' homes because our ultimate goal, if it's safe for the child, is for children to be in their family of origin. Now, we understand that sometimes that's not possible, but when it is, we want to maintain that family unit. So we send staff members into the homes to work with the families 2 and 3 times a week. And sometimes that's as simple as playing a game with a family and helping them to communicate better and improve their family relationships. And sometimes that's as tangible as teaching the parents how to make lunch for their children, because their children are continually going to school without lunch. And so helping them grocery shop and learn how to budget and make lunch for their children may be a part of that therapy. And by your support, we're able to meet every family where they are. So it looks different for every single family that we serve. And whether that be a very acute need or an emergent need where a child is coming to live with us for treatment from trauma, or whether that be something as simple as let's help this family speak to each other kindly so that we can have better family relationships, we kind of meet them where they are. One of the things I always try to do when I have the opportunity to speak with donors in person is just to tell you a few stories about what our kids are doing, because I think sometimes it can be hard with all of the security measures that we take to make sure that our kids are kept safe and their identities are kept safe. We know that you're not typically given the opportunity to meet our children, so just to share some stories with you about things that they're experiencing. One of the things last year that was interesting is that we weren't able to do any events on campus for obvious reasons. In 2021, we were able to expand that a little bit because we have increased testing precautions on campus and vaccination precautions for our kids. And so they were able to have prom this year, which we were really excited about because last year they weren't. And we try to allow our kids to do things that all other kids are allowed to do. So prom is pretty special for our high school students. And this year, a colleague of mine and I were walking around to the different residential units on campus, and we were delivering the suits and the dresses for the children that lived there. And one of the young men came out, and he was very excited about the suit that he got. And he was telling us, you know, all about his dance moves. And later that evening, when we were at prom, he pulled us aside and gave us a show. So that was really interesting, and told us all about his dance moves. And so your support isn't just providing therapeutic treatment, which obviously we understand is the most profound experience that the children will have at Crossroad. That ability to recognize their trauma and receive treatment for their trauma will change their life forever. But you're also allowing for moments of normalcy. And for some of our children, this is the first time in their life they've ever experienced that. So to many families, going to prom is pretty normal, but for some of our kids, they've never been in a family system where prom would be a realistic opportunity for them. And you're allowing them to feel like every other kid that they've seen growing up. And then one more story before I stop boring you with details, but we have adopted a new curriculum on campus this year. And so we kind of saw a need for the children in our Crossroad Academy, which are children who live with us and then children from the community, that for whatever reason, it's not safe for them to be in a public school setting. Maybe they have trouble maintaining safely in a classroom. Fort Wayne Community Schools will send them to our campus to go to school each day. And we kind of started seeing that traditional education model was not resonating with our kids. And that was due to a number of reasons, some of which are learning disabilities caused by the trauma that they've experienced. And so we decided to embark on something called New Tech Curriculum, which is an academy that trains teachers across the nation in project-based learning. So our kids are learning hands-on, they're working with their friends and their peers, and they're working by themselves to do projects instead of traditional assignments. And one of the projects this fall was a unit about apples. And so they learned all about the nutritional benefits of apples and then had an opportunity to choose a recipe that they would make with their partner. And they presented it at this curriculum day that we had, where some of the staff were chosen and we could walk through and taste what they had prepared and learn about their dish. And so I walked up to this table of these two little boys. They're two of our youngest residents on campus, 7 and 8 years old. And I said, I listened to what they said to me about their recipe and I tasted their recipe and I said, "Did you guys have fun?" Naively thinking that they would be like, "Oh yeah, it was great." And the youngest little boy said, "Well, I mean, actually, I hated him when we started this, but now, like, we're best friends." And he said, "So what I learned was, like, sometimes you can really not like somebody, but if you have to work together, you can be best friends with them." So I thought, that wasn't the answer I was expecting, which typical for children to say things that you're not expecting. But it was such a special moment for me because I thought, not only did they learn about the curriculum that they were supposed to learn about, but that's a really important lesson in life, you know, to learn that we can meet people that we may not feel a connection with initially and learn to really be fond of them. And so I want you to know that your support is changing lives on many different levels, and we sincerely appreciate that. One last thing I want to say is that we are praying for you. So we understand that you may never visit Crossroad. You may never have the opportunity to come visit campus, which is definitely an opportunity. If you're interested, feel free to contact me. But we want you to know that you are prayed for, and we pray for and appreciate our donors immensely. If you have specific prayer requests that you would like our staff to be praying for, you're more than welcome to reach out to myself or our chaplain. But we want you to know that we understand that you're giving out of your own resources, and we take that very seriously, and we are praying for you, and we appreciate you. So I hope you have a blessed holiday season, and I really appreciate you allowing me to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. In our worship this morning, we're going to be blessed by both Buffy playing and singing our prelude, "God is with us."
The skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been before. And deep within I feel my soul is stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming rumors spread across the that a child protected well from Herod's anger is our Father's Son and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here, I can tell. God is with us, God is in us, God is with us, Emmanuel. He's the Savior we have been praying for. In our humble hearts He will dwell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. I feel compelled to tell all who will listen that peace on earth is not so out of reach. If we can find grace and mercy and forgiveness, He has come to save. He is all of these. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here, I can tell. God is in us. praying for. In our humble hearts He will dwell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us. You're the Savior we have been praying for. In our humble hearts You will dwell. You are in us, You are for us, You are with us, Emmanuel.
Our opening scriptures are taken from the books of Malachi and Luke. The first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. And hear these words from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he has swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Let us bow in prayer. We praise you, O God, for your constant presence with us in all aspects of our lives. In our congregational worship this morning, may our praise and our hope abound in your love and in your grace and in your peace. In the glorious name of Christ we pray. Amen.
The setting seems so common. The soft and low noises of the animals, donkeys, sheep, goats, they fit so well into the setting. It was a stable after all. But was this the proper place? Surely there was a room available. Wouldn't someone give up their room in order to allow the expectant mother a comfortable bed? But at inn after inn, maybe even at home after home, the door was closed in the couple's faces. "No room here. We're full up. Move on. Try down the lane." At one place, as they moved along, the closed door opened up again, and the innkeeper pointed to the stable. It wasn't much, but it was shelter to keep the wind and the weather out. The animals were snug and warm. Maybe this corner would be enough. A simple stable, a simple manger, which God blessed with holy light. Let us join in singing the second verse of "Away in a Manger," number 157.
Oh,
I invite you to rise as you're able as we share together the responsive call to worship. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make God's path straight."
Every valley will be filled and every mountain will be leveled.
The crooked will be made straight.
The rough and rocky ways will be smoothed. See the light from on high. The dawn is breaking.
The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming.
Indeed, the Lord is coming. And as we wait on that, we come together to praise his attributes. Let's sing number 117, "We Come, O Christ, to You."
And I invite children to come forward to the steps for the lighting of the Advent wreath. And as they come, I invite the congregation to share in the printed sentence in your bulletin with John the Baptist.
We cry out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
You can have a seat.
Guess what?
Wow, we're going to be thinking about that all day. You're getting rich. He has two wiggly teeth. So Ryan has to step up. All right, we're using the Advent wreath to prepare us to count us down until the day of Christmas. So last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent, and we lit this first purple candle, the candle of hope. Hope. Hope is looking forward to something that's going to happen. And today we're going to light the second purple candle, and that purple candle stands for peace. But before we light that one, I want to talk a little bit about peace. God calls us to be people of peace. We're supposed to get along with one another. We're supposed to enjoy one another. And to be at peace means that we have recognized those times when we've not been so nice. Maybe there's a time when you said something that was mean to someone in your family or to one of your friends. Maybe you were in a hurry to do something and you were trying to get to school or whatever, and you pushed someone else out of the way. Those are actions that we can consider sinful. It's not what God wants, not how God wants us to treat one another. And so to be people of peace, we have to recognize what we've done wrong. We have to repent from that. We have to go to that person that we've said something to or pushed out of the way and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And after we say, I'm sorry, and ask if they'll forgive us, we have to pray for God to give us strength. We have to pray that God will forgive us too.
We love peace.
I'm glad that you love peace. Okay, well now we have to not just hear of it, we have to live in peace. If you were able to listen to Liz talk about those two little boys at Crossroad where they were baking something with apples together and they didn't like each other. But by spending that time together, one of them said, this is now my best friend. That's what it means to live in peace, to get along with one another, to love one another. So we are going to light this second purple candle. What's it stand for?
Peace.
Peace. Very good.
Another peace.
Not another piece of candy. This is peace in our hearts. Let's pray.
Okay.
At home. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of these children. And we pray that we as adults, as their church family, we will model peace for them, to be kind and loving to one another, and to have your peace in our hearts. In Christ we pray, amen. Thanks for coming up. You can go back to where you were, and the congregation will respond with the words in the bulletin, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The Lord's peace be with you. Don't go too fast.
Our carol response will be the second verse of O Come, Emmanuel, number 123.
Bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you. We bow before you as your people, thanking you for the blessing of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We come to praise you and thank you for the powerful way that your Spirit guides us and comforts us. Lord, I pray that each one of us has a desire to be people of peace, to recognize that there are times when we need to speak, but we can do it in such a way that brings people to those that we're talking with, those that we're listening to. And Lord, as Jesus Christ teaches us to be people of peace, Lord, we pray for one another. We pray for the people of our congregation that are lonely. We pray for the people of our congregation that are serving in the military. We pray for the people of our congregation and our communities that Lord, they would open themselves up to the light of the world through this Advent and Christmas season. And Lord, we pray for people of our congregation that are grieving. We pray for John Graber. We pray for his family as Catherine has entered into eternal life. Lord, we pray for your word to speak to them continually, especially during the time of committal and remembrance this afternoon. Lord, we continue to pray for Paul and Joanne Lovejoy upon the death of their son, John. And we pray for John's wife and children and the rest of the extended family that they would too know your peace. Lord, we lift up to you Gretchen Hare as she starts her therapy at Roop Rehab. We pray that that will go well for her. Lord, we're grateful that Ann Grimm has progressed in her recovery from COVID, that she has now returned home. And Lord, as she continues to be on oxygen and receive other treatments, we pray for her strength. We pray for Matt Pardee, who remains hospitalized with the virus. Lord, we pray that the treatment he was receiving will restore him to health. Lord, we pray for Leah Nafsinger as she has started therapy this past Friday. And Lord, as that is difficult, we pray for her perseverance and we pray for her healing. Lord, we pray for Denny, who is having his gallbladder removed this morning. We pray for the blessing of that surgery and we pray for his time of recovery. And Lord, we pray for Bob and for Keith as Bob's at the ER this morning receiving treatment for what is happening with his body. We pray for his strength. Lord, we thank you for Liz being able to be with us this morning from Crossroad as we are reminded of the ministry and the programs that Crossroad does on the behalf of so many youth, so many families. And Lord, we thank you for the ways that we are able to support them, whether that was through the alternative gift market and whether that's through the mission a month, through our prayers. Lord, we pray that we would continue to be strong supporters of all that Crossroad is about. Lord, in our time of worship, being drawn together, hear us as we offer the prayer of our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us rise as we're able and sing number 128, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, and hear of the angels singing of the Prince of Peace, their King.